It's time to come together for Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches Holy Convocation 2018. Moving forward, Wednesday, August 15th through Saturday, August 18th. Our convocation speakers will be Pastor Delzora Terrell on Wednesday, Bishop John Edmondson on Thursday, and our very own Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. on Friday. Services begin at 7 p.m. nightly, preceded by prayer at 6 p.m. Workshops will be held Wednesday through Friday, 4 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. in the prayer chapel. Dinner will be served immediately after classes nightly. Registration is required for each workshop session. On Saturday, August 18th, there will be a special time for teens during the Teen Live Service, which will feature giveaways, gospel recording artist Jermaine Dolly, and a relevant word presented by Reverend Darren Harley of the Lighthouse of Deliverance Gospel Church. Dinner will be served after the Teen Live Service. Parents, encourage your teens to be here for this dynamic time of worship and fellowship. It's Holy Convocation 2018. Moving forward, August 15th through August 18th. Come and experience the power of God. We hope to see you there.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
I believe God for a miracle.
In 1993, a young man by the name of Simmons, he was about 16 years old, conspired with some friends to rob a lady's house. One of the buddies backed out of it, and that left two conspirators to carry out the action. Unbeknownst to them, the lady was at home. And so they entered the house, robbed her, and she walked up on them, and they killed her. They took her body over to a bridge near one of the major thoroughfares and dumped her body over the bridge so as to get rid of the evidence. But she washed up on shore. After careful investigation, the young men were apprehended, and under sustained questioning, young Christopher Simmons admitted to the crime. He was 16 years old. After several days on trial, the jury found him guilty and decided that there were mitigating circumstances to impose the death penalty. Through a series of appeals, his lawyer was able to keep it going through appellate courts, and it dragged out for years. One day, his attorneys discovered that there was a previous case where the court ruled that this particular young man who had committed a crime was mentally retarded, and they declared that anyone that was not in control of their faculties should not be given the death penalty. Simmons's lawyers grabbed hold of this information. And through a series of events with not only attorneys but psychologists, they discovered that the mind of a 16-year-old is unable to formulate the cunning to commit murder, that his action, though reprehensible, was the result of impulse and not clear cognitive planning. The Supreme Court agreed and ruled that anyone under 18 years of age could not be put to death for a capital crime, nor could they be given death for any type of crime if you are under the age of 18. It was suggested that the brain, particularly the prefrontal cortex, and specifically, does not fully develop until one is about 21, 22, in that range, and that you are unable to even know right from wrong. The argument was that if the, not only the government, but the culture says that you can't drink till you're 21 because they know you don't have reasoning skills enough to stop. They tell you that you can't vote till you're 18 because they said you don't have reasoning skills to determine who the right candidate will be. So the American Psychological Association wrote a brief to submit to the court that saved that young man's life, and the ensuing recommendation was life without parole. Now, by the time he gets finally sentenced, he's around 20-some years old, so he's not the same person who committed the crime. What makes this so interesting for us in this message today is that most of us have entered into the economy of God with absolutely no understanding of what we're in. We're acting on impulse and under peer pressure to do what everybody else does without fully recognizing what it means to serve God. This is why later on, during courses of trial and test and situations that the Lord in his sovereignty sends our way, we fold under the pressure and back off. And I thought, what did this have to do with today? Mark's gospel, chapter 4, he writes about a parable that Jesus gives, and again, Mark isn't there, but Peter is there, and this will all tie together very soon. Verse 14, the sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside when the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts, because they're not mentally mature to process it. It is foolish for me to stand here and think that I can preach on the beauty or the meat, if you will, of 1 Corinthians 13 and that you will walk out of here processing it correctly. No, the enemy will come right away because of mental immaturity and take it from us. The substantive reasoning is because we have no fleshly example of love in many applications. And unfortunately, our spiritual connections are related to our physical connections. One of the reasons why we cannot relate to God as a father is because some of us never had fathers. If you never had a father, how can you say God is your father? What does fathering look like if you've never had a father? If you've never had a person to discipline you because they love you, then how can you accept the chastening of the Lord? If you've never had a person to pattern a life before you, then how can you say you're doing what's right? Most of us enter Christianity with preconceived notions that are 80% wrong. Our thought of God, our concept of God, the way we view ourselves will translate into how we view each other. If you are self-hating, you're going to hate me. If you don't like to see yourself advance, then you're going to despise me as I advance. You're going to try to bind a devil that you think is causing this particular response, but it's not the devil. It's my inability to like me that causes me to hate you. If that were not significant, then why would God say, in order for me to love him, I must love you, and I can't love you until I love me? How many of us are so full of self-hatred that we cannot find the space to love each other? So the enemy comes right away, and he snatches that word. Why? He doesn't want the word to change you. See, when the devil realizes he can't keep you from salvation, then here's what he does. He says, fine, I'll let you get saved, but I won't let you have a good life. See, because salvation, the essence of salvation, now the essence of it is eternal. Okay? So it's like Scofield says, there are three areas of salvation. Number one, you are saved from the penalty of sin. Number one, when you come to Jesus, Scofield said you are saved from the penalty of sin. Number two, as you're being sanctified in the Lord, you are being saved from the effects of sin. And then finally, when Jesus comes, either you die in Christ or he raptures you away, you are saved from the presence of sin. And so while we're going through this process of evolving from spiritual babies into the final presence of the Lord, there are adjustments that have to happen. It's the difference between off the rack and custom made. Custom made does not require as much alteration as off the rack. I did not say that custom made does not require some alteration, but not as much. And religion is off the rack, but Christianity is custom made. But there is still a modicum of adjustment. Jesus said, he said, my yoke is easy. Now, when you hear that, immediately we think of the yoking concept of bringing two oxen together so they walk in the same direction. But that's not what he means. Jesus always knew his audience, and he knew that those that were there were not only fishermen but farmers. That's why this particular parable is so important. And he knew that there were two types of yoking systems that you would put over the neck of the oxen. One was a Walmart yoke. It's when you just go down to the carpenter shop and you buy it because all you have is about $50. And you go in and you use your card and you get the yoke. And the yoke just goes over the oxen and it scratches up the oxen. But his hide is so tough, he can't feel it. It hasn't been planed or sanded. It's not smooth. It is just stuck around him. It's a Walmart yoke. It's just something common that you get. But Jesus also knew there was something called an easy yoke. Now, the easy yoke, when you go to the same carpenter and you have some money, you say, I want my oxen to have an easy yoke. And what that means is that the carpenter has to come around and measure the oxen for a specific yoke. It will adhere to the curves and the grooves in that oxen's body, and no other oxen can wear it. It's called an easy yoke because it's fit for that oxen. Jesus said, my yoke is easy. That means that whatever I call you to do, it is custom made for you. You can't sit and wonder, how is it I can pastor a church of this size and oversee 25 other churches? And you sit there and say, how can you do it? It's not your yoke. It's my yoke. And it's easy for me. And so he says here, this enemy comes and snatches the word from you. He takes it so it doesn't reach your mind. Notice the text here says he takes away what was sown in your heart. But what's the point? So it doesn't reach your mind. Change of your life doesn't come from heart. It comes from mind. It comes from mental assent. It is you saying that this particular lifestyle is injurious to me, therefore I need to change it.
If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
6218P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.